Welcome to TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector, sponsored by SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion. And now, here's our host, Jeff Baker.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 12 of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker. I'm your host for the program. We have a fun episode today. I got to interview author Brad Bulkasian about his new book, The Wax Pack, On the Road in Search of Baseball's Afterlife. It's a fantastic read all about baseball cards and Brad's journey to meet the people in the players that were included in a 1986 Topps Wax Pack. So it's really a cool book, and we talk about Brad's new book that got released this week, and it is now available anywhere books are sold, and I recommend you picking it up. We talked to Brad. Sit tight to hear our interview. If you have any feedback or comments or questions about this episode or any episode, previous episode, or wish to be a guest on a future episode, please send me an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. You can contact me at ttmcast@yahoo.com. The podcast is available everywhere that podcasts can be found. Please tell your friends. People are stuck at home because of the coronavirus and the pandemic that we're experiencing, and it's kind of a chance to think about something fun in terms of collecting and TTM and sports and such. So please tell people about this podcast. If you do have an Alexa device, all you have to do is say to your Alexa, play TTM Cast Podcast, and you'll hear this episode and any previous episodes. We have a forum on sportscardforum.com. You can always mention whatever's going on in the show there. And now we're on to our first segment of the show. It is Baker's Dozen. It's kind of brain dump of what's been going on in the hobby and life in general in the past week. Our next show will be next Sunday, April 12th, which is Easter. So wishing everyone a happy Easter coming up. And we have Passover coming up. So hopefully that will Take people's away, focus away from what's been going on in real life with this pandemic, and hopefully you can enjoy some virtual time with your family, because I know we're not supposed to be getting together, but it'll be a different holiday season this spring, but still, spend some time the best you can with your family and friends. A couple things I've been doing to kind of keep my attention while I've been stuck at home. I'm on week, I think, 3 now of being stuck at home. We've had a shelter in place in Massachusetts for 3 or 4 weeks now, and my company was actually closed this past week, so I've been working from home for the last couple weeks. So in addition to keeping up with my regular job and staying busy there, I've been watching a lot of TV, YouTube, and stuff. So actually just finished Season 1 of Hunters, which was a fantastic take. I recommend everyone watch that. We've been watching Manifest, which is on NBC on Mondays at 10 p.m. A good show. You can go back and watch, start from the beginning. I think it's on Season 2 right now, and I recommend that. And I've been watching Better Call Saul, which is probably one of the best shows on TV, kind of a prequel to Breaking Bad, and follows the exploits of Jimmy McGill, who turns into Saul Goodman, and it is a fantastic watch. Every episode is great. There are only 2 more episodes left in the season, unfortunately, but you can go back and watch previous episodes of Better Call Saul, get caught up pretty quick. You don't really have to be a Breaking Bad fan, but it does help, and if you're not, and you haven't seen Breaking Bad, I recommend watching Breaking Bad. One other thing that kind of came to my attention, and I was very happy to take part in this, and it's open, it's free until, I think, mid-July right now, Baseball Digest has opened up their archives. So you can go in and go back and see all the old Baseball Digest, all the way back from the 40s when they started till today. Check out all the old Baseball Digest, read all the old articles, look at all the old cool ads online. And this is all free, and all you have to do is just go to baseballdigest.com, sign up for a free account, and then they give you access, they grant you access to all their archives, and I recommend checking that out. And lastly, I've been joining a lot of Facebook groups lately. I joined Vintage Wax and Packs, which is kind of a cool group that focuses on a lot of unopened stuff, unopened boxes, cards, baseball, football, basketball, all sorts of stuff people post. It's really neat. I just joined the Baseball Card Exchange Breaks group, and they break vintage boxes. So it's kind of cool to watch the vintage boxes being broken, open up, packs being opened up, and you can actually join the breaks and get a spot in their breaks. So Baseball Card Exchange Breaks has a group on Facebook. Check that out. I joined TTM Autographs Galore, MLB TTM Collectors, and Puck Junks. Puck Junks is a hockey group, and they talk about all about hockey stuff. So they show all sorts of hockey posts. So it's kind of cool. There's a lot of time on your hands now, and just grab your phone, get on Facebook and join some of these groups. It's really cool. So I'm on about, I don't know, 8 or 10 groups now, getting a lot of feeds. It's really interesting to see what people are collecting, what people are into, and it's kind of neat. So check that out. And now on to our Vern Rapp Minute. Vern Rapp Minute is dedicated to Mr. Vern Rapp, who had passed away prior to me sending out a TTM request. And as you know, if you listen to this program, I'm kind of embarrassed sending out a TTM request to Mr. Vern Rapp. So I dedicate after he had passed, and I want to I dedicate this moment to Vern Rapp and as a service to my fellow TTM collectors, let them know people who have passed away so that they don't send out TTM requests to people that are no longer with us. So we've lost a few people in celebrity and in the Hollywood world, and a couple of athletes. So let's talk about the athletes first. Ed Farmer, who was a Chicago White Sox broadcaster and a pitcher. He pitched for 8 different teams in the 70s, including the Cleveland Indians and the White Sox and the Phillies, Orioles. He passed away the other day. Goldie Sellers, who was a defensive back for the Denver Broncos and the Kansas City Chiefs from 1966 to 1969, recently passed. He is featured in the 1969 top set. And it's sad to lose another former AFLer. In the celebrity world, we lost actress Julie Bennett. You might not recognize the name, but Julie was a famous voice actress and was on all sorts of cartoons in the 60s and 70s when I was growing up. And she was most recognizable. She was the voice of Cindy Bear on the Yogi Bear cartoons. She was also featured in the Rocky and Bullwinkle show and the Fractured Fairy Tales show, and was in all sorts of different cartoons from the 60s and 70s. So we lost Miss Julie Bennett. She was 88 years old. David Schramm, who was played Roy Biggins on Wings in the... He was 73. We lost Mr. Schramm. And we also lost Adam Schlesinger, who was a songwriter and musician. And he wrote the theme song that was featured in that movie, the movie That Thing You Do, which I really enjoyed. And he was also a member of Fountains of Wayne. He was 52. We lost him from... complications from coronavirus, and Julie Bennett was also lost from coronavirus as well. So my condolences go out to all their families for their losses, and we're sorry for your loss. Now on to returns. We've had a few returns this week. I've been actually sent out 12 requests this week and got a few back from some older ones. I got a couple back from my 1992 game day set. I got Tony Woods, who played for the Seattle Seahawks. He signed a nice black Sharpie. And that took, I don't know, maybe about 3 or 4 weeks. I got Brett Williams, who was a defensive end for the New England Patriots back in the 90s. And this took 2 years to get back, but if he signed a nice black Sharpie with a God bless and his uniform number on it, great autograph, a nice big card. So happy to get that back. A couple other ones that I got back this past week, I sent out to Fred Lynn. I saw he had signed for somebody, so I gave it a shot for my 1978 top set. Unfortunately, I just got the Fred Lynn blue card, but it's a nice addition, I guess, to the collection. I was always a big fan of Fred Lynn. And then lastly, I want to thank Mr. Jim Gosker, who was a friend of the program, was featured on a program on the show a couple months ago, and I interviewed him. I didn't have any of his cards autographed, so I was holding on to a couple of cards because I thought he was coming out to Massachusetts, but that the trip got canceled, obviously, for obvious reasons, so he actually signed his 66, 67, and 68 top cards for me, sent it out, on Tuesday, and I think I got it back like on Friday. It was really quick. So I want to thank Jim for signing those, and those are now a treasured part of my collection. And now on to our final segment. Had the opportunity and pleasure to interview Mr. Brad Balkasian, who was is author of his brand new book, The Wax Pack. I hope you enjoy our interview. We talk about his journey and the ideas behind the book, and I think it's a really cool interview, so hopefully enjoy it.
This week's interview is brought to you by SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion.
Joining us on the TTMcast hotline from his home in California, Northern California, is author Brad Balkasian. And I got that one right, Brad, I hope.
You did, yes.
Brad is the author of the most anticipated book in the hobby, in my mind. It's called The Wax Pack, On the Road in Search of Baseball's Afterlife. The book is coming out this week. We'll be posting this on April 5th, so the book will be out and available for everyone to read. Welcome to the program, Brad.
Thanks for having me, Jess.
Oh, you're welcome. I've been following your exploits for a few years now, and it must be nice to finally have the light at the end of the tunnel that the book's being released.
It is indeed. It is a very satisfying feeling after really a six-year process from bell to bell to finally have the book see the light of the shelves, shall we say.
Now you got a lot of pre-release pub from the industry, and that must be driving your numbers up on Amazon, I hope.
Yeah, this whole book is a lot about underdogs and sort of the tortoise winning the race, and so this book, you know, sometimes art imitates life, right? And so this book has sort of become an underdog in and of itself, in that it took a long time to get published because I got rejected by a lot of publishers and, you know, was told maybe it was time to give up on this, but I persevered. And so it's nice and satisfying to see it get some traction now as people start to get to read it.
Well, if people don't know, and I'm not sure how collectors don't know what the book's about, it's really about Brad opening a pack of 1986 Topps cards, the 14 cards plus a checklist, and then you kind of go on a road trip and meet all these people. So what came first, Brad, chicken and egg thing? Did you have the pack and decided to write the book, or you were wanted to write the book and you picked the pack to open? How did that all come about?
You know, I was thinking if someone did a movie adaptation of this, they would probably have the pack come first, like it had been some pack, you know, that from childhood that it somehow got lost and had never been opened, and then I'd rediscover it, you know, 30 years later. But no, it's not quite that Hollywood of a story. I had the idea that a pack could be this vehicle or this vessel to do this kind of journey, that, you know, what's great about a pack is you're going to get this random sampling of guys. And these were the guys, you know, as I said earlier, I loved underdogs. My favorite players as a kid were guys like Marty Barrett and Spike Owen and, Steve Lake, Don Carmen. These guys were not the stars, but they were my heroes as a kid that I collected. And so I was kind of curious, well, you know, what happened to these guys? And I knew that in any given pack, you know, you open any pack of 1986 cards, probably 75% of them are going to be guys like that, right? They're not going to be the stars because they're called commons for a reason.
So you had the idea for the book first, and then why did you choose 1986? Did you think that most of those players would still be with us, or
no? It's because I'm 39 now. When I did the trip, I was 34, first year I remember collecting was 1986. So that was the year that was seared into my mind as sort of being my introduction to baseball cards.
So this is kind of a random thing. You just pick a random pack up at a card store or
as I say in the book, in a footnote, I knew I couldn't just go with one pack. I mean, in terms of opening just a single pack, because if I got like six guys that were dead or, you know, everyone lives in Arizona, that wouldn't make for a very, very good road trip. So I opened several packs, but the thing was I didn't mix the cards between the packs. So I picked the pack that I thought would be the best for kind of telling the story. Had guys that were alive, guys that were spread out across the country, that kind of thing.
Now, with what were there, 15 cards, 14 cards in the pack back then, and you got a pretty good mix in terms of stars and regular people, commons, if you will. Was there anyone that you really wish it was in the pack that didn't show up in the pack?
I mean, I got Don Carmen in there. He's my favorite player. You couldn't ask for much more than that. Sure, there were guys, again, some of the guys I mentioned earlier that were the guys that I collected that were the journeyman types that would have been fun to have in there. But you know, again, the beauty of this concept is that it's that random selection. You know, you don't get to control who's in there. You know, you play the hand of cards that's dealt you.
Now, you did this all in one summer, right? You just got in your car and started driving and kind of mapped out where you were going. Where did the trip begin? Was it in the beginning in Oakland or where did
Yeah, I set out from Oakland, where I still live, and mapped it out. Certainly not a direct line. Lots of zigzags, and drove 11,341 miles in 7 weeks across the country and back. So,
did you show up on these people's doorsteps unannounced, or did you send it?
Well, no, I had done a fair amount of research. I mean, I approached this. I mean, I knew that I wanted to write this book. I took it very seriously as this sort of journalistic endeavor. I knew that the book would be, I wanted the book to be about a lot more than just what happened to these guys. Like I saw the opportunity, the potential to tell bigger stories depending on the themes that came out from talking to these guys. And so I spent a long time ahead of time. I mean, you know, almost a year doing research, trying to track down people, writing to them. I mean, some of the same techniques that people in the autograph trade use, but I was asking for a lot more than their autograph, right? I was asking for some of their time and to talk to me. So I used a number of techniques to try to get a hold of people. And by and large, most of the guys were very cooperative and gracious, but some of them were not. You know, some of the bigger name players, as you might expect, Carlton Fisk wouldn't talk to me. So those chapters were all about how I pretended to be a multimillionaire home buyer to sneak onto the golf course in Sarasota, Florida, where he plays, to try to ambush him. So in that sense, yeah, I kind of did show up unannounced on his doorstep.
And I met Carlton Fisk maybe, I don't know, a month and a half ago before all this happened, you know, that we're dealing with at a card show. In Wilmington, Mass, and he was very cordial in talking to him, and I asked him if he wanted to be on the podcast, and he gave me a name of someone to contact, one of his reps, and that's kind of where it is. Where it ended up. So
did you try to contact him?
I spoke to him. I shook his hand. I spoke to him.
No. I mean the rep.
I did. I talked to the rep. It was a woman, and I talked to her, and then she came back a day later and said, "Sorry, Mr. Fisk, is going to pass."
is your name Kim?
Yes.
Yeah, well, there you go. She's in the book.
Okay.
He's still working with the same person. So, yeah, I mean, Carlton will talk to you if you give him $69, you know, and then he'll politely decline through his agent, you know, a day later. That's what he does.
So, let me give you a quiz now. Can you run down the 16 people out of the 14 people that you spoke with? You know them by the back, like the back of your hand?
Well, I better, right? Wouldn't be a very good book if I don't.
True. So
you want me to go through them, or
yeah, just to let our listeners know who's featured in the book, because I'm sure you know it's coming out this week, and they'll give a bit of indication of who they can learn about.
Sure. So I'll just give it to you the way. I mean, the book is structured following the timeline of the journey. So it starts in California with Rance Mullinix, who lives in the Central Valley out here in California in the Visalia. They go to Los Angeles and meet up with Steve Yeager at his Jersey Mike sub shop. I head down to San Marcos outside of San Diego and go to Gary Templeton's house and see his Porsche in the garage and hang out in his living room, watch some old baseball games, watch some kung fu. Drive out to Houston to try to find Gary Pettis at a game, the Astros game, but that's chapters about my attempt to get to him and sort of get to him. I end up getting his autograph, and you can read about what happened there.
Okay.
Then I go to Dallas, Texas, meet up with Randy Reddy, go bowling with him, go to the gym, show him how to use Tinder, which is kind of fun. Then I go out to this tiny town called Camargo, Oklahoma, out west in western Oklahoma, with about 100 people, where Don Carmen grew up. And I talk to his childhood coach and his mom and his brothers, even though he doesn't still live there. Then I go to northwest Arkansas and meet up with Jaime Kokenauer on the 4th of July, hang out with his family and friends at a barbecue, and play Cards Against Humanity with him. What's that?
That must have been fun.
Yeah, that's like the opening scene in that chapter. Go to Sarasota, where I do my thing with Carlton Fisk to try to ambush him. Then I meet Don Carmen, my childhood hero, in Naples, Florida, at the zoo, and talk about that. Then I retrace Vince Coleman's childhood in Jacksonville, Florida. He wouldn't talk to me, so I go and find his childhood home and his childhood school and church. Then up to Long Island to meet up to where I sit in Doc Gooden's living room, even though Doc wasn't home, and talk to his oldest son. Then Pawtucket, Rhode Island to talk to Richie Hebner in McCoy Stadium. Cooperstown, New York, Hall of Fame induction, where I actually get to catch Carlton Fisk.
Wow.
Kansas City to meet up with Rick Sutcliffe and get to go on a tour of his childhood with him. And then Compton, California with the late Al Cowens, well, not with him, obviously, but writing about Al Cowens and meet his cousin who played with him. And the book ends with me finding Al Cowens' headstone in the cemetery. So there you go. There's the list.
If you could look at me, I'm green with envy right now, because it must have been a thrill of a lifetime to meet all these great ex-athletes. They're all world-class athletes. Do you feel like anything like Wizard of Oz pulling back the curtain and meeting some of these people? Was there any sense of disappointment?
No, I mean, if anything, it was sort of the opposite. I was really impressed by how open these guys were and how willing they were to be vulnerable. And, you know, if you read the book and you realize pretty quickly, it's not really a baseball book. You know, it's about relationships. It's about the loss of innocence. It's about the power of vulnerability. You know, several of these guys getting emotional with me, talking about their broken relationships with their fathers, that kind of thing. I guess, yeah, the behind the curtain was something a lot bigger and more, impressive than I even realized.
I was speaking with Brad Bulkasian. Brad, I'm sorry if I messed up your name. I'm Brad is the author of The Wax Pack, On the Road in Search of Baseball's Our Afterlife. It's a fantastic new book that's been released this week. You can go to thewaxpack.com.
Actually, it's waxpackbook.com.
I'm sorry, waxpackbook.com. I know he is on Facebook and on Twitter. Instagram as well, Brad?
I have an account I need to revive, but I'm mostly doing my work on Twitter at waxpackbook.
It's waxpackbook.com. Please check it out. This book is available on Amazon. It's available in hardcover and Kindle right now. Is that correct?
That's right. Yep.
And it is. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I'm looking forward to reading it. But I wanted to talk to Brad while the book was still hot and coming out. And I think collectors everywhere will truly enjoy it. Baseball fans, Brad, do you consider yourself a collector?
Or a baseball? I would say not really anymore. I'd say as a kid, I remember being just thrilled to discover this whole idea that you could send a card in the mail, and if you included a self-addressed stamped envelope, you would actually get it back. It was, you know, this. And I remember after I started doing that, I started including like a little questionnaire for the players, because I always wanted to know about them. And so I would, you know, type out this, you know, questionnaire like, who was your favorite player as a kid? Who's your favorite team? What are you doing? You know, and this is all pre-internet, so you couldn't.
Sure.
You couldn't get that information back then. And so it was so cool to get those, start to get those questionnaires back. So yeah, I collected a little bit. I mean, I collected cards, I collected the autographs back then, but I wouldn't say I am a collector anymore. But certainly understand how fun it is.
Now, all the athletes that you went to see, you brought a copy of the card, the 86 card for them?
Yeah, so I had the pack, and so I thought it'd be kind of neat if I met someone to have them autograph it. So in the book, I have the image of the card with each chapter, and then if they are, you know, I have not all of them. I didn't get to meet all of them, but most of them I did, and so there's an image of the autographed card in there.
Now, have you gone on to eBay and tried to fill out the ones that you did not get a chance to get, or no?
No. You know, to me, it's not that's not as important. You know, to me, it's fine that I didn't get their autographs. I mean, that's part of the story, right, is not getting to talk to everybody. And I think that actually makes it more interesting when you have some people that wouldn't cooperate or weren't interested. That adds some sense of conflict and dramatic tension to the narrative, which, again, is, I mean, this is the kind of book where it's meant to be read all the way through. It's not something you would just pick up and read here and there, because it is a cohesive narrative and story.
Sure. Now, do you have? Are you going to display all the cards in you know, frame display with a wrapper in your book? Do you have it?
Well, I just wrote on Twitter yesterday. Someone asked me in an interview, like, where's the pack now? And I was embarrassed to say that, again, because I'm not someone that tends to display things and, you know, that sort of thing. I had it at the bottom of a box in a storage container. So I dug it out this weekend, and I have the cards are in a little plastic case, and then I've got the actual wrapper from the pack. And I was putting on Twitter and saying, oh, you know, maybe I should do something with this and, like, put it in a display case. And a bunch of people very nicely wrote back and had some suggestions. So perhaps I'll get to put all that together.
Yeah, I mean, you really should frame it with your book and the wrapper and the cards. So even if they haven't signed, I think that'd be a nice moment for
sure.
You and your family.
Yeah, it would look good.
Now, you got to tell a lot of stories in the book. Is there a story or two you can tell us that didn't make the book for one reason or other that might be interested to my listeners?
I'm trying to think about that. I mean, it's kind of like when you get a DVD and there's the deleted scenes.
Yeah.
And then you realize, like, oh, yeah, they're deleted because they're not that good. so, like, I put my best stuff in the book, right? So there isn't anything that really – I mean, there's stuff that didn't make it in the book, but I didn't think it was anything that was – if it wasn't good enough to make it in the book, it's probably not that interesting, you know? So,
well, Brad, we're all stuck in the house for the next month or so. So
yeah, right.
So we're all thirsting for any –
right.
humor or entertainment that we can find.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, frankly, it's a weird time to promote a book. I kind of feel even guilty doing this because it's like, man, this is certainly not, you know, not the most important thing in the world, but you're right. We all need distraction. We all need entertainment, and we're all dying without baseball right now. So it's good to have these things.
No, I agree. As I said, I'm really looking forward to it. If you're interested in Brad's book, it is called The Wax Pack, and on the open road in search of baseball's afterlife. You can go to thewaxpackbook.com for more information about the book. It's available on Amazon. Is it going to be in Barnes & Noble and other bookstores?
Yeah, and, I encourage people to, especially because of what's happening right now, to go, you can get it through your local bookstore. So there's a site called bookshop.org, which is trying to help local bookstores, independent bookstores, stay in business because they're just getting slaughtered right now. So I always encourage people, to try to support those places and order there. A lot of them will do free shipping right now, or they can deliver it to your house. It is in Barnes & Noble, but actually I just read today that Barnes & Noble, they've closed a bunch of their stores because of all this. So, but yeah, basically wherever books are sold, you can find it.
How about if my listeners are interested in getting an autograph copy, or are you signing autograph copies through the waxpackbook.com?
Well, yeah, I'm always, someone sent me the book through the mail with a self-addressed stamped envelope. I'm always happy to autograph anything and send it back. As long as you can send me that SASE, I'm happy to do anything, really.
Well, now, do you have any, another book on the docket? I know this was a labor of love, and it took a while to get going. And now you're an established author with a huge following.
Well, I don't know about that, but I don't have anything. I'm also a professor at biology at Merritt College. That's what I'm doing when I'm not writing. Right now I'm just getting slaughtered with trying to figure out how to move all of our classes online, because I teach a lot of outdoor stuff. Nothing immediately on the horizon, but I definitely have ideas for books, and hopefully we'll get to do another one sometime.
All right. Well, as I said, I'm looking forward to reading it. Is there anything that we didn't talk about today you'd like to add before we close out?
No, I just appreciate everyone. The best thing about doing this, and since I finished writing, is just the interaction with people. I really feel like I'm grateful. It's been a grassroots thing. People have been so supportive on Twitter, and complete strangers just, talking about it and interacting with me. And, that's what makes baseball, that's the heart of baseball, right? It's just having these relationships and having this common ground. So I'm just grateful that people, are enjoying it. And please tell me if you read the book, let me know what you think. I'm always curious, like, what parts you liked or what parts you didn't like, because the criticism is good too. So, thanks for having me on.
No problem. Why don't you remind everyone, title of the book, how they can.
Sure. So by the time you hear this, it'll be out. Available. You can go to waxpackbook.com, and you can see, I had a big giant 40 stop book tour plan that's been canceled. So hopefully I can reschedule some of that when we get through this whole coronavirus. And on Twitter, I'm at waxpackbook as well. So you can interact with me there.
You gonna plan on coming east? Do you come in the Boston area at all?
Yeah, well, actually, I'm from Rhode Island, so I was planning on doing a lot of stuff in the Northeast. And, everything's on hold until we can get a better sense of timing, but I would definitely go back to that area.
Well, when you're in the area, I will stop by and introduce myself and say hello, and I wish you
that'd be great.
Best of luck with the book, and hopefully we have games to watch soon. And we can always still buy cards and send TTM out, so keep the faith.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Nice meeting you.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Well, that wraps up another edition of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I have been your host for the program. If you want to have any feedback, suggestions, comments, or like to be a future guest on a program, please send me your email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. I'd like to thank Mr. Brad Balkasian for joining us today, the author of the new book, The Wax Pack. So please check out his book. I know if you pick it up and send it to him, he'll gladly sign it. So, again, I want to thank Brad for joining the program. Please stay safe. Keep your social distancing. Don't go out unless you have to. And get working on those TTMs, because I think people are starting to sign a little. So, as always, wishing you many happy returns.